Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Studio G and the Discussions for Women in Leadership, where we focus on how the styles and principles of an Omega leader can influence leadership. We will be back with you shortly to start this week's show in just a few minutes. Welcome, good evening, to Studio G and the Discussions for Women in Leadership. We continue our focus this week on how the styles and principles of an Omega leader can influence leadership. Here in the studio this week, we have Lori Beth Jones, speaker, author of 14 books, and the book leading our discussion today, Jesus CEO. Welcome, Lori Beth.
Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening.
And we also have Vicki Arteaga representing the business pillar. Welcome, Vicki.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
And I just received a text message with a picture from our educational leader who's absent from the group tonight. I can't quite tell if it's Vegas or somewhere else, but
San Jose, California.
She is not with us in Studio G this evening, so we are going to miss having Elisa Holston representing the education pillar. But we are glad that we are all here this evening and ready to start this show on what it means to be an Omega leader. And who's going to lead that discussion on the definition this evening? Do we have a taker?
I think you should do it.
Oh, I knew that was coming.
Raise the question, answer the question.
How did I know? Well, in my humble opinion, the difference that stands out in an Omega leader is the perfect blend of the alpha, which is the masculine characteristic of management or leadership, and the beta, which is the female style of managing and leading. And from what I understand in these discussions on women in leadership, the Omega leader is a blend of those two, considering the people that we're leading more than the title of leader. How's that fit?
Good.
Thank you, Lori. So we are going to jump this week into a discussion on something I think that's very, very hard for all of us to kind of get our heads around, which is leading by example. And I thought it was just a great question, Lori, in the book. The questions at the end are always powerful questions. They always make us think. But this one, would you be willing to have someone videotape your deeds for a day and then use that tape as a training video? And I can clearly and honestly say today that would be a no. And so now I'm going to pass it on to the rest of you to answer. Would your example today be something to videotape and use as a training video?
I don't think so. And probably because if you're conscious that somebody's videotaping you, you'll be careful about what you do and all that.
Good point.
The thing is, what if it's a hidden camera? There's a TV show, no?
You've been punked?
Yeah, you've been punked. But there's another one that is just videotaping somebody in Spanish in Mexico. We had that program probably from here too.
I remember that.
And it was hidden camera or something like that. Camera escondida.
Yeah, candid camera.
Candid camera. And they create scenarios and all that and just monitor how people react. But, not knowing that you're videotaping, that's the real you.
Yeah.
Right? That's the real you. Because if you know, you'll be conscious about, okay, so I need to be careful and, with the words that I choose,
sure,
with the way I address people and things like that.
Mm.
And then they can use that for a training. Sure, they can, probably, if I'm, apply myself to do a good job. But in real life, and I think the videotape is always on, right? Whatever you are, there's only one person that knows exactly what you're doing and how you're behaving and all that, and that's God. And you, right?
That's a great point.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Ms. Jones?
Well, I was thinking about that, and I'm going to tell you my day, and then I'm going to tell you why I think it would be a good one to videotape, because I took myself to lunch, and then I shopped, and then I had my journal with me, and I wrote 3 essays, and then I went to see Alice in Wonderland at the movies. So would that be a good training video for someone who wants to be a writer like me? And I would have to say yes. Because Alice in Wonderland was all about imagination, and shopping, of course, is part of our hunting and gathering genetic makeup. And but taking my journal with me and just keeping notes. And so I had an hour before the movie started, and I just started writing and people watching, and I think I got some really usable material. And I also needed to take care of myself today because I had a very high, intense, high-focus meeting yesterday with a publisher, and my energy was elevated really high yesterday because I was so excited about everything we talked about. And then I had the predictable down, which I've come to know in myself happens when I put out a lot of energy. And so I was in a very low space, and so I took myself to a place of self-nurturing and rekindling my imagination. So how's that for justification? How'd I do?
It's good. And I think you know yourself, and that's a key to knowing where to charge and what charge you. No?
Right. Mm. But the direction, I was thinking about the show, and I want to take a little turn down a rabbit hole, if you will, in this show. Shelley's going, oh, great. But I'm thinking about a quote that I heard that said, we have the leaders we deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one thing to be the leader and to say, oh, you know, take me to the leader. And then the leader sometimes is a scapegoat. And it's amazing how much power we cede to the people who represent us or the people that we say are our leader. And you know, when you look at some of the people that are leading us, and it's really fun to criticize them, and sometimes it's justifiable criticism, but the truth is they're on the stage, and they are playing the game, and we have put them there, either through voting for them or through not running ourselves. And so in the show tonight, you know, setting a leadership by example, I think I want ourselves around the table and also our listeners to ask themselves, do you have the leader you deserve? Are you letting someone lead in your place and then complaining about it because you're not willing to put some skin in the game and get on the stage? And I think that, in fact, one of the essays I wrote today was about sitting in the seat of scoffers, which is in the very first psalm, blessed are those who do not sit in the seat of scoffers. And scoffers are cynics, and they put people down, and they criticize, and they're mad all the time, and they're, you know, cynicism is like sarcasm. It means to literally tear the flesh from the bone. So when you're a scoffer, that means you're like a jackal or a hyena. You're taking the dead meat and tearing it off. Hyenas generally don't even kill the animal themselves. They wait for someone else to kill it. So it's even one less, you know, in my mind, lower on the food chain. Do we sit in the seat of scoffers as leaders? And I've been around companies where I have observed that there's somebody there who is a designated scapegoat. And sometimes the people keep them there so they can scapegoat them and whip them and make fun of them, and it gets their energy out. Of course, you know, the scapegoat in biblical times was the people would all put their sins on a goat, and then they'd send it out into the wilderness, and poor goat, but you know, it made the people feel better. So I'm thinking about those attributes of videotaping examples of leaders, because we're seeing videotapes on the news of the leaders that for some reason or other we deserve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hmm. Wow, that's really deep. And sometimes it was that for a second.
I told you I went down the wormhole.
And I think the consciousness of the moment, like your day today, was very conscious. The way you live today seems that you knew where you were, you knew what you needed,
mm-hmm.
and you executed actions to make you feel better, to replenish your energy, your imagination, and your materials. And, you know, doing that as a leader, I think it's great. Just setting an example for others. I think you set the example for others. Like for me, right now, it's just you describing your day. That makes me think of, well, maybe I should be more proactive on how do I feel before I start the day. I say, okay, then if these are the circumstances that surround me and my level of energy, the things that I need to do and all that, what is strategically the best way to do it?
That's good. I hope something good would come out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, self-care. It's the self-care of leaders, and it's not always about being on stage and showing up and smiling for the camera. It's really taking care of yourself, and Jesus did that. He went alone to pray, sometimes at inconvenient times, sometimes often when they did not want him to. One of my favorite verses is, you know, and Jesus, seeing the crowd gathering on the shore, rode away from them. So self-care is very much on my mind, particularly as I look at, we're doing some work with pastors now, and I look at one of their biggest challenges is fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
The expectations of other people. They don't know how to hold up a shield against that dragon's breath.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of where my head is right now. Instead of saying, okay, let's all look good on the stage and make sure we smile and only get photographed from a certain angle.
Hmm. I was reading a tweet, I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, that said something to the effect that if the pastor or the leader is not in a small group, then the small group leader will not have success. The small group leader that's in charge of leading and managing small groups within that congregation is not going to have success.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about it for a second, you know, as I was reading it, and I thought, wow, that's interesting. But then as I thought about it more, what that tweet was saying was set the example,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Set the example that you want others to follow. And apparently, if small group ministry is something that the pastor or the leadership is
mm-hmm.
is denoting as important and needed,
mm-hmm.
but they're not showing up every week in a small group, then how can the other ones feel success in that?
Well, and I'm thinking about Elisa not being here and you know, joking about her being in Vegas. And the truth is, as you said that, I thought about the fact that she is on a trip that she initiated to go learn more about her specialty. And she went to the district and said, this is so important, I'm willing to pay for it myself. And then they decided, you know what, several of them decided that they needed to go too. And so they ended up paying for the trip, and she sent a tweet over, I'm having dinner with the publisher too, because
mm-hmm.
she's meeting with the textbook publishers. And so if you videotaped her today
mm-hmm.
and tonight, this would be a leader in action who was so
mm-hmm.
willing to pay her own money to get the knowledge
mm-hmm.
that her school needs, that the rest of the group came along behind her.
It's a
good point.
Yeah, and I think everything rises and falls on leadership. And I was just going back and thinking on the leaders that I've had as mentors, or who are they and why I admire them, the ones that I do, others. They're not in that list. Anyways, but I think that part of what makes a person or a leader call my attention and make me be or try to be like them is their ethics, the way they behave when nobody's looking,
mm-hmm.
The communication, the way they communicate with others, the respect that they have for other people, the loyalty to the institution, to their values, to the core values, the loyalty to the personnel, the inner drive that they have, and most important, and I think that's when people stay or fall from my list, is those that recognize when they commit a mistake. Those that say, you know what, I'm the CEO of this company, and last quarter I took this terrible decision. You know, my intention was good. Mm-hmm. It was not a good decision, and in front of everybody, I'm telling you now the consequences are this and this and this, and it's my fault. When somebody has the pantalones to say that, you know, that to me sets an example for everybody else to say, well, then if it's okay for him to say that he committed a mistake, it's okay for me to say that I committed a mistake.
That's establishing a culture of forgiveness and responsibility.
And try new things.
Mm-hmm.
Not staying in your nice environment, not trying because of the fear of committing a mistake. So he or she, try a new thing. Sometimes it works, great. Sometimes it doesn't, okay. Now I know it doesn't work. But, you know, just keep that open mind of just taking a risk and being accountable to your decisions and not trying to hide the results.
Well, I wanted to go back to that definition of the scoffer. Do you, Lori, do you feel like the scapegoat and the scoffer, that designated person, is what keeps the leader from leading by example, or was that just I want to put this out there as a...
Well, the scoffer is not usually the scapegoat. The scoffer has a scapegoat. And sometimes leaders designate scapegoats to keep the attention off of themselves. I'm thinking of a recent example of a congressman who started blaming, you know, the White House, and then he started saying that it was because of his votes and it was because of this. And I'm thinking of the cat with the burning tail, you know, anything to throw attention on somebody else, when really it came down to he was under, it came out that he was under an ethics investigation. So he tried to firebomb everybody else on the way out. And I think leaders have to have a spirit of discernment about drama that's going on. We're talking about videotapes, and everybody has a drama going on. And so sometimes we go straight to the drama, and we don't realize that the person who set the fire is the one who's also trying to be the hero to save it.
Mm.
You know, the arsonist is the fireman sometimes. And so my mind is just really freewheeling tonight about this whole issue of leadership by example, because the two thieves on the cross. I bought some spurs recently in Sedona, and you all have had the pleasure of hearing them clink on the sidewalk.
Yes.
As I made you try them on too. But there's three beautiful crosses on this spur, and I was reading a sermon about the two thieves on the cross, and one of the thieves said, you know, curse God and die. I mean, he was just bitter, and he was blaming everybody, and he was a victim, and he was...
Save yourself.
Yeah, the scoffer. And then the thief next to Jesus took responsibility for his actions, and he said, I deserved.
Mm-hmm.
I brought this mess on myself. He is pure. And so I thought about which of the three crosses am I on? Because I don't think that I'm Jesus, and I don't think I'm on that cross. So if I had to pick one of the two thieves to be, I hope I would be the thief that took responsibility for his or her actions, and was able, even through his pain, to see the beauty in someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he got invited to paradise.
Yeah.
So this whole issue of leadership is so clouded because we have people who, talk show hosts, that professionally and constantly criticize the leaders. And But who's willing to step out and lead? Are we? Are we willing to come from the crowd and say, I'll do it? Or are we just waiting and saying, oh, a bunch of no goods and can't do a thing, and I have the unfortunate experience of having to be around a drunk at family gatherings, and he's always criticizing the leaders, but he can't even find his way to the car. And, you know, it just, that's not the videotape I want to put out there. So I'm riled up about something. What is it? Tell me what it is.
That's a big question. That's a lot of things. Could be your lunch you had today. I think it's Alice in Wonderland.
Alice in Wonderland.
I blame that movie. Anyways, I also like when you were talking about the dad, the way he walked, and the two kids following the dad. I think that's an image that the parents, you as a parent, want to see your kids follow your lead.
Right.
And if you are 100%, if you are listening and you have kids, and if you understand that the kids have a videotape in their eyes every single day,
right,
you need to lead by example. The kid, there was a case in the news about the kid, 7-year-old, that called 911. And when they asked him, they interviewed him today, and when they asked him, how come you knew what to do? That 911 and all that. He said, my mom taught me to do it. Oh, and did you practice? He was so cute. He said, yes, every day until I knew how to do it. And he's 7 years old. So that mom should be very proud of the legacy that is, and the way she's bringing this kid up. I mean, he showed tremendous control over a very, very stressful situation. And another thing that made me laugh this morning is that at the end of the recording, the 911, when the intruders came to the bathroom where he was hidden, you hear the shout. I mean, you hear the whole conversation. And then you hear, ah! And it's scary. It's scary. I mean, the 911 operator didn't know if the kid was, is being hurt or what happened. So they asked him, who shouted? Was that you who shouted? And he was so stoic, and he said, oh, no, that was my sister. 6-year-old sister. She's the one that's, I mean, he was a macho man right there, and he was under control, and he was taking the leadership in that situation, and then I want to be like that kid when I grow up.
And I guess he startled the intruders, right? If this is the same one that I heard, and they saw that he was on the phone with 911, or he told them,
yeah, who are you calling? 911.
And they left, right?
And they ran.
So wow,
yeah,
great,
amazing,
great story. So we've got just about 7 minutes here, Lori. I think one of the things that that I'd like you to address a little bit this evening is this whole, you know, leadership by example. But then what kind of pressure does that put on the leader? You know, if the leader has always got the videotape on, right? What kind of pressure does that put? And maybe that's kind of what you're trying to unpack here a little bit is, you know, we're going to be on a cross sometime as a leader, right?
Right.
We're going to be nailed to it or strapped to it or something. Somebody's going to hang us up to dry as a leader for some reason, for some, you know, no fault of our own, or maybe it was our fault. Could you speak to that a little bit to those that will listen? Because trying to do everything as perfectly as you can because somebody's watching, I don't think is really the message that you wrote about, or the way that Jesus really led.
Right.
It wasn't that, obviously we know there was a divine and a human aspect, you know, intersecting in Christ. So maybe speak to that a little bit.
Well, you know, he said, do the things that I have done. And he sought constantly to do the right thing. And he was also vulnerable and authentic. And he shared his fear, you know, in the garden,
mm-hmm.
and his reluctance. Maybe it wasn't fear, it was certainly reluctance. So if, I think that you helped me frame that, Shelley, that it's not about being phony. It's about being real. And when you make a mistake, own it. And it also goes to the essence of self-knowledge, that you need to know what you came here to do. And if you can calibrate that and keep doing that, then you will lead by example. But trying to be a puppet or trying to be somebody else's voice that's not yours, that's, you're going to get nailed.
Mm-hmm.
For that, because people can sense that, and it won't carry you far.
Mm.
But it's finding your true voice, and being willing to be vulnerable about that. So leading by example, I think, as we wrap this up, it's sometimes being willing to say, I messed up.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm here because I messed up.
Mm-hmm.
But still looking for the purity,
mm-hmm.
and the beauty in Christ or those around you. So... that's why we all agreed that this was going to be a hard one to talk about, because leading by example, what exactly does that mean?
Yeah, I'm thinking on the two examples. When Jesus goes to the temple and he sees that they're selling and trading, and it took a lot of time for him, because it seems that he was doing something with his hand. He was putting together a... How do you say that? Latigo. I need my interpreter here. And then he goes and takes the tables, you know, just throw them up in the air and all that. So if he were concerned about the videotaping, well, maybe that is not the example that he wanted to portray to pass on to his disciples. However, the words that accompany that action, he's like, the house of my father is not a house for thieves.
Right.
It's for worship. So even though his actions at the distance might be,
he was out of control, or he lost his temper.
Exactly. As you mentioned, his phrase bring everybody up to what it was really about. What is the meaning, the core thing that was at stake right there? And then that's a leadership thing that he can, you know, that's also leading by example. Just
right.
Go to the core. What is really going on here?
Right.
What is really going on? Are we blaming others? Are we being distracted by the noise? What is really going on?
Mm-hmm.
And just go to the essence of that. That's a discipline that it's really hard to get, and not everybody has it. And if you can pass that into your the people that you have, the area of influence.
Well, I think that when we all think about leaders who have influenced us, we can probably, to a person, imagine or remember a moment when we saw them in action, when we thought, I want to be like that. And it isn't anything that was handed to us in a policy manual. It was watching somebody. And recently, I'm working with a number of amazing leaders in this. I had brought a potential partner to him, and it became clear to me pretty early in the agreement that it was not going to work out to the benefit of my client. And so I'm thinking, ditch him. Okay, eject. And he pulled me aside and he said, we need to gather around this man in prayer and somehow find a way to support him, because he knew his wife was dying of cancer.
Oh, wow.
And he said, let's figure out a way to support him even if we don't take him on as a partner. And he said that to me in the hall quietly.
Wow.
And I thought, I want to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be like that.
Mm.
So that's the kind of example. So I'd like us to think about this week leaders that we've known, or maybe that we do see on TV, because there are many strong leaders,
sure.
and think, I want to be like that. and then try to become that. And certainly for me, I look at Jesus and I think, I want to be like that.
Mm.
Blessings to you all.
Thank you, Lori Beth. Thank you, Vicki, for this evening. We'll be back next week to continue our discussions for women in leadership and the principles of an Omega leader. Thanks, and good night.
Good job.